Acts chapter 1. This morning, I want to minister a very practical message, and the burden on my heart is, what is God's will for me? What is God's will for me? See, I believe that at some point, we've all asked that question, God, what is your will for my life? God, what do you want me to do? And most times when we ask that question, it's very grand things. God, what job do you want me to take? Where should I move? Who should my spouse be? We ask very big, grand things and say, God, what is your will? I am seeking the will of God for my life. And that's not bad. You know, I do think that in all things, we should go to God in prayer and seek God's will. But also, sometimes I believe that we make it hard because Jesus already told us what God's will for us in the scripture. So in Acts 1, Jesus has just resurrected from the grave, and he spends about 40 days with his disciples, and he's talking to them, saying, hey, these are the things that I want you guys to do once I leave. And as he's about to go back to heaven, Jesus gives them his will for them. Jesus tells them exactly what they ought to do. So what exactly is a will? A will is also called a testament. It's a legal document that states how a person wants their property shared after they die. Now, the only difference is that we know that Jesus did not stay dead, right? So Jesus rose from the grave, and he's saying, hey, I'm going back to the Father. But as I go back, these are the things that I want you guys to do. So in Acts 1, verse 4, it says this, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So they came to Jesus saying, Jesus, this is our will. We want the kingdom of Israel to be restored. See, oftentimes we come to God with our will. God, this is who I think I should get married to. I've done all the work. Just say yes. Just bless all my work. You know, don't really check my work, just bless it. So they're saying, hey, God, we want the kingdom of Israel to be restored. Jesus, is that your will? And Jesus says this in verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So many times we ask God, God, what is your will for our life after we have chosen what that will is? We try to make him fit what we want. But Jesus says this, don't worry about that. But then in verse 8, he now says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus tells them, real practical, real plain, real simple, that as I go to the Father, my will for you is to be my witnesses. My one thing, after I spent 3 years with you, taught you every single day, went to the grave, rose back up, did all these signs, my one thing is for you to be my witnesses. Not to be a preacher, not to be a pastor, not to be saved, not to go to church, but to be my witnesses. So Jesus is saying something very specific here that I think we oftentimes miss. Because sometimes we make walking with God being this spiritual, mystical thing, but Jesus was very plain. He's saying, no, be my witness. Be my witness. When people see you, they should learn about me. When people come in contact with you, they should know that truly there is a God. So he's saying that my will is simple. My will is not for you to climb a mountain and to fast 40 days and do all these things. No, just be my witnesses. Tell people about me. Live in such a way that when they see you, they see me. So my question this morning to everyone here is, where do we witness? Because once again, most times when we think about the will of God for our lives, we think about grand things. Like we think about big life-changing choices that we want to make. And they did the same thing here. They said, once again, Jesus, is it time to restore Israel? Is it time to do this big grand thing and go back and kick out Rome and make you king and priest again and all these things? And he just says, no, don't worry about that. Let's keep it real simple. Be my witness. Don't worry about this big grand thing that you think that you need to do, because oftentimes we think that God's will is this big grand thing, but God is saying, no, just be my witness. Where I've placed you, be my witness. So something that we often miss is what Jesus says here. He says that you will be my witness. And the first place that he names is Jerusalem. See, Jesus names their hometown. He doesn't say, go be my witness in Africa. Go be my witness on a mission field. Go be my witness somewhere far. Go do something hard. No, he says, be my witness at home. Be my witness where I've placed you. Be my witness at your job. Be my witness in your home, in your family, in the places that I've placed you. Because sometimes, once again, we think of God's will and we think about this grand thing like, God, once I start preaching, then I'll be walking in your will. But what's funny is, as someone who does do that, I've seen that my wife doesn't need a pastor. She needs Jesus at home. She doesn't need me to sermonize her. She needs me to actually love her like he would. So Jesus is saying, hey, guys, don't worry about this big grand will that you think that, you know, that we need to go in there and charge and take over Rome. No, simply go and be my witness in the places that I've called you to be. So everyone has been called to be a witness because Jesus is practical. He doesn't tell you something that you cannot do. But also, he doesn't tell you something that he does not empower you to do. So Jesus is saying, hey, be my witness. Start in Jerusalem. Start in your own home. Don't start on a mission field where you don't know the people, because, man, sometimes it's so easy to preach to those that you don't know. But it's a bit harder to preach to those that know you and know your flaws and know where you struggle. And still have the boldness to say that, no, Jesus is Lord and can actually fix this thing. See, because once again, it's easy to tell that stranger that God can do all things. But when that person has seen you stumble and knows you, and you can still boldly say, that's when you begin to actually be a witness. So we see here that he says, start in Jerusalem. So are you a witness of Christ in your own home, in your own space? Are you a witness where God has called you to be a witness? Because husbands have been called to be a witness. Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands have been called to be a witness, just like Christ. Because once again, my wife doesn't need a pastor. She needs me to love her like Christ. She needs me to love her like Judas. Judas was going to betray Jesus from day one. And for 3 years, you could not tell the difference between how Jesus talked to him and anybody else. Jesus was loving him, speaking to him, blessing him, encouraging him. In the same way, husbands, we've been called to be a witness. We've been called to actually carry that life of Christ at home. Because, look, we've all heard stories of pastors who were anointed on stage, but their home life is just, you know? And it's like, he's saying here, guys, start at home. Be a witness in Jerusalem. Don't go chasing the mission field. Start where I've placed you. And oftentimes, that is the hardest place to start. And here's the truth, man. Being a witness at home takes power. See, we often think about power, you know, when it comes to laying hands on people and praying for them and miracles and signs and wonders, but it takes power to actually love somebody as Christ loved the church. It takes power to die to yourself and say, no, I'm going to love you despite what I feel. So in that same vein, husbands have been called to be witnesses. Wives have been called to be witnesses as well. 1 Peter 3 says this, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, not me, your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So we think about witnesses a witness is someone who speaks. But Peter just said by the Holy Spirit that, no, you can be a witness without a word. You can be a witness by just living it. You can be a witness by how you just carry yourself. And your husband, your spouse, your friend, your siblings who don't believe in God, they can see that and say, no, something is different. They're walking by something different. See, I grew up in a Christian home, but at some point it became clear to me that I truly believe this thing, and others kind of just, it was like, yeah, we're Christians, but, right? So as we got older, I started to see that with my friends and siblings, I was going this way and they were going that way. And it's been about 10 plus years now, but a few of them have come back to me and said, Ike, we've watched your life. We've seen your life. And we see that, no, like truly, you believe this thing. And truly, God has placed his hand on you. And it wasn't something I said. They just watched my life and how things have manifested. So once again, we think about being a witness as, oh, I have to speak. No, no, no. Sometimes don't speak. Sometimes just humble yourself. Let God be the one to speak. He will convict them. He will show them. He will prove himself. You know, there's a scripture that I love, and I often quote this scripture to my wife. It's in Proverbs. It says, wisdom is proven by her children. And it just means that, like, sometimes you just got to let things play out. Don't be in a rush to prove that you know God. Don't be in a rush to prove that you are following God and that God actually is the God to follow. Let it play out. Just do what he's called you to be. And by the conduct of your life, as it says, without a word. See, we can be witnesses by just living it without saying anything. Just live your life and know that God is the one that who will actually change the heart of that person. Because once again, it takes power to shut up when everything wants to just roar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes power to be quiet, to silence yourself. It takes power to, when you know that you're right and that if you just say this one thing, you win the argument. And God says, nope, prove it by your conduct. Prove it by your life. Prove it by what you don't say. Let me say it. So once again, we have been called to be witnesses. That's not just for wives. That's for husbands. That's for everybody, right? We can be a witness by how we live, not by just what we speak, but by how we live. Also, in 1 Timothy 4, Paul says this, let no one despise your youth, but be a example, be a witness to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So even the youth are called to be a witness. Even the young people can be a witness to their parents. Even children can be a witness to their parents. I was laughing about this because my daughter knows that I often fast. And one day she saw me eating. And she was like, Daddy, I thought you loved God. Why aren't you fasting? And I was like, oh my God, why are you saying that to me? Like, it just hit me. You know, but even she was a witness because guess what? I know that the Lord had told me to fast that day. And I was like, but I just want to eat something right now. And she said it, and I'm just like, okay, out of the mouth of babes, just, all right, Lord. So anyone can be a witness, right? Paul is saying here, let no one despise your youth. But be a witness, be an example to the believers. First in word, yes, we must speak, but sometimes he says in conduct too. Just by how you live your life, how you carry yourself, things you do and don't do. I'm reminded of, I was at the gym maybe a month ago. I was playing ball, and so I don't tell people that I pastor just because people get weird. You know, they're like, oh, pastors in the house, and they kind of just like, you know, yeah, they shrink, right? So I'm just there playing ball, just one of the guys, right? But one of the guys there knows that I'm a pastor. So there was a loose ball and a foul, and if you've ever been at the gym, guys in their 20s, they're arguing, they're cursing, they're saying all kinds of things, right? And I just saw him just watch me. I mean, like, his eyes were on me, like, is he going to argue? Is he going to lie? Is he going to scream? And I just stepped out, like, nope, this is not for me. And after that game, he came to me and said, bruh, I was watching you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I saw you watching me. Right? But he then goes on to say that, yeah, because I know that you are a pastor. And I've seen many pastors lie and do this, right? So my witness was not saying anything, but that witness helped fix something that he had seen that was wrong. So sometimes, you know, we want to speak up, we want to minister and do all these things, and those things aren't bad. But a witness is someone who just learns to also hold their peace. Just be quiet. You don't have to say it. Like, life will go on. You don't have to say it. Because it's easier to not say it than to say it and then try to fix it. Right? So youth are also called to be a witness. So what am I saying this morning? Last Tuesday, while we were here praying, the Lord laid it on my heart that if you don't share your faith, if you don't witness, there's no need for power. See, many times we are praying for the power to come and all these things, but God is saying, no, go. When you go, then the power comes. When you make up your mind to actually share and speak and be bold, when you make up your mind to be a witness in your conduct, then the power comes. And, you know, I say this and I'm speaking about myself too, but like maybe I believe that this is why sometimes we are not desperate for the Holy Spirit, because we don't do things that require him. Because once you're saved, if you truly want to, you could coast. I mean, you're saved, God knows you, you know him, you're going to heaven, just don't do any big sins, right, and you're good. But we see here that Jesus tells us that we are called to be witnesses. Not just Christians, not just saved, not just church goers. He makes it a point to use that word, be a witness. But also, before he says that, he says that power will come with that. So witness and power goes hand in hand. But once again, I know that in my life, there have been times when I know God has called me to be a witness. Not on stage, but in real life. To the people that actually know me and love me. And I've shrank back. And God is saying, no, no, no. That's where the power is, right? If you open your mouth, I will fill it. Think about Stephen. Stephen was serving at the coffee bar like we have here. And all of a sudden, he began to preach one of the greatest sermons ever heard, ever, you know, ran down. All because he just chose to be a witness. Even Paul called him a witness because he was speaking as one who saw God. But he wasn't on stage. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't doing all those things that we think witnesses do. He was just serving. See, many times we miss the moments that God wants us to actually walk in something because we don't choose to serve. We don't choose to do those simple things. Or we think that God moves only in church on Sundays in the big moments. When every single day you go to work, to school with people that need what you have. But you choose to just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, God, if you want to save them, you will. No, he wants to use you to save them. Like, he wants to work through you to save them. So we see here that being a witness, once again, it's not just ministering on stage, but it's loving those that God has placed in your life. It's the conduct of your life. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you love others. It's how you walk in love, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. So being a witness is all those things. So turn with me to the book of Acts 3, because I want to show you exactly what happens when we choose to be witnesses. Acts 3, verse 1. Now when Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Now this man, verse 3 says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. So they were going to church, parking lot, hadn't stepped into church yet. They see someone at the church door begging for money. And this person looks at them and saying, hey, do you have any change? And Peter, in verse 4, says this, and fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So we see here that Peter and John chose to be a witness. But what the scripture shows us that the Spirit of God did not wait till they entered the temple because the Spirit of God was with them. So when you're a witness, you carry the Spirit of God with you. He can work in you at any time. You don't have to invite people to church. Yes, you should, but you can bring God to them right where they're at work, at school, wherever you're at. And we see here that everyday encounters can be supernatural, because many times we think that the supernatural is God just overwhelming us and, you know, things begin to shake and move. But we see here that the supernatural just began with a conversation. See, something I'm learning is that if you want to be used by God, you have to be someone that people can interrupt. See, many times we're so busy, we're so, this is what I have to do right now and nobody can talk to me. But if you just open your eyes and see that at the gas station, at the gym, people need life. Like, they need a word. And you might be that person that carries that word for them. You might be the only witness that they see. You might be the only Bible that they read, your life. But if you're so, well, you know, I just got to get my lifting and, headphones in and can't nobody speak to me? Well, hey, you get what you came for, but you will miss what God has for you. So we see here that these people were people that God could interrupt. Because once again, they were going to go pray. And prayer is good. And they could have said, no, we must go pray. Don't talk to me. It's prayer time. They could have been religious. But they said, no, because the Son of Man came for who? For the lost sheep. He came for the people. He came for those that were sick. So when you see someone sick, it's okay if they interrupt you. Your Father knows that they need what he has given you. So we see here that the Spirit of God does not wait until Sunday to move. Everyday encounters can be supernatural. So I'll leave you guys with this because I know that, once again, many of us are seeking for what God's will is. You know, what's that next job? What's that next thing? God, what do you want me to do in my business? And those are real questions. But while we are waiting to understand those details, know this, God has called you to be a witness exactly where he's placed you. So if you're looking for a job, you can be a witness right there. Once you have the job, you can be a witness right there. Because God's will doesn't change. Whether you have it or you don't, you can be a witness where God has placed you. Amen? So I'll end with this because the scripture says that you shall be my witnesses, not a witness, not a sometime witness, but my witnesses. God is looking for people to testify for him. God is looking for people to speak for him because God has given this earth to men. So God can't just, I'm going to say this and understand what I'm saying. God gave this earth to men, to flesh and blood. Therefore, he had to come as a man to save man. So in that same vein, God has people that he wants to save that you know, but he cannot override their will. But he's put you in their life, and he wants to use you and you to be his witness so that you can testify. Because as they see you and what you've been through and see that, wait a minute, they've been through this and they still have a praise. They have a joy. They have something that can't be quantified. They know that truly there is a God. So tomorrow morning as you go to work, be his witness. As you go home with your husband, with your spouse, be his witness. As you raise your children, train up your child in a way that they should go, be his witness. It's not when you stand on stage. It's not on Sunday. It's not when the whole crowd is watching, is being his witness. I'll close with this story. Lately, the Lord has been kind of nudging me because I do pray, but he's like, you need to be praying with your family, like praying with your kids. And in my head, I'm like, my daughter is 6, but my other 2 are 2. And I'm like, how do I pray with kids that are 2? But he's like, no, like you need to be praying with them. So every morning, what do we do now? We get together and they pray. You know, it's short, it's sweet, right? But be a witness. Don't overthink things. Don't make it too spiritual. Because Jesus taught his people by simply being practical. This is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven. He didn't make it so hard and so difficult. He was just simple. He was practical. He was a witness of the Father. Amen. So Father, this morning, we just thank you for your word. Oh God, we thank you because you are simple, because you are simple, because you don't make it complicated. You've called us to be witnesses, but you've also given us the power to be that witness, Lord. So, Father, we humble ourselves this morning. We ask for forgiveness, Lord. Every place that you've placed us that we have taken for granted, that we haven't been a witness, that we have been too overwhelmed, too burdened, too focused on the job and not you. Father, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, help us to be witnesses, Lord, in our own homes, to our spouses, to our kids, to our friends, to our parents, Lord. Help us to not see any platform as too small. For you have placed us, Father, in various places to be your witness, to speak for you, to exemplify you. Once again, God, we humble ourselves. We know that we cannot do this based on our own strength. We know that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to truly be a witness. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your power. We ask that as we go this week, Lord, help us to be a people that can be interrupted, a people that are willing to be led by the Spirit, a people that are willing and looking for what God wants them to do that day. Father, once again, we just thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Wonderful word this morning. Just a reminder for us to be salt and light wherever we go, because like he mentioned, like the world is watching and God is watching also, and he's called each and every one of us to be salt and light in this dark world. And so I hope that message encouraged you, because it definitely encouraged me. A few announcements. Just remember always to support the ministry, and there's ways on the screen to do that. Thank you, everybody who came out this past Friday for Ignite Prayer. It was a success. So thank you so much. And then again, we'll have it again next month. And then this coming Wednesday, we have Laity to Laity service. I'm actually one of the Laity to Laity people. And so it's hard work getting up and giving a word. And so having your faces out there is encouraging. So please come out and support the Laity to Laity speakers. And then one last announcement, on September the 19th, we're having a Money and the Master class. It's a biblical financial stewardship event. And so it's just talking about managing money and doing it in a biblical way and coming from biblical perspectives. So please come out and join us for that. It's Saturday the 19th from 10 a.m. to noon. So if you can make it. And if you'll just stand with me, we'll go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for being such a good God. Lord, give us that boldness, Father, to continue to spread your word, Lord. That's what you have access to do, the commission to go out, Lord, and to be a light in this world. So, Father, we just ask you to help us to remember that we are the only light that this world sees. And so help us to reflect that light. And we just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.